The reading this morning is Romans 6, 1-10. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Amen.
Once again, happy Resurrection Sunday. Really great seeing so many people come out for the service this morning. I've got a word on my heart from the Lord, which I hope you're going to find inspiring and inspirational and really help you along in your journey in life and in your Christian life. I'd in particular like to welcome visitors here this morning. I see a number of faces are new to us. Some are recognized. Great to have you with us. Thanks for joining us this morning. We also have a family from Germany. They were here on Good Friday, back here this morning. I recognize a few faces from the school gate as well, from some time ago. So great seeing so many of you here this morning. If you are local and you'd like to find out a little bit more about our church, we have something called a visitor's card in the pew. You're welcome to fill one of them out, and we'll keep you up to date with events and some information on our church. The information stays with us. We don't sell it on to anyone else. You may also have a prayer request or a comment or a question which you may wish to ask, and you can pop it on that card and just hand it to me confidentially. If you prayed the prayer this morning before communion, the prayer of recommitment or indeed commitment, I'd very much like to connect with you. I have a little booklet I'd like to give to you to help you along in your journey of faith. So if you could just connect with me somehow after the service and kind of say, I prayed that prayer, that would be really great. I don't want to embarrass anyone this morning. I'm not going to ask you to stand up right now, whatever, if you prayed that prayer. But if you did, could you just have a quiet little word with me? People talk to me about all sorts, so don't think, you know, that everybody's going to now know. But it's good also to make a public confession of our faith. There's power in making a public confession. So this morning, the title of my message is Standing on the Threshold of Victory. And we find ourselves in the book of Romans. On Good Friday, we found ourselves in Peter, and the Apostle Peter writing to the elect, which was scattered, and we had a look at what following Christ meant from a Good Friday perspective. And from a Good Friday perspective, to briefly recap, we said that following Christ means sometimes we too suffer innocently. We looked at 2 Peter, where we saw that sometimes Christ means suffering patiently. And we're all very good with patience, especially when you pray prayers like, Lord, give me patience and please hurry up in answering my prayer. And following Christ means suffering sacrificially. And I said in the message that sometimes we truly find out what we believe about Christ when others mistreat us. And that the real test of our faith sometimes is in the actions that we do not do, or in the words that we do not say. And I shared with you four sentences which I found helpful in this context. That when you are mistreated, there are four sentences that can really help. And that is, it's not about me, it's not about now, but it's all about God, and it's all about eternity. It's not about me. It's not about now. It's all about God, and it's all about eternity. This morning, we find ourselves in the book of Romans. And we see a picture there painted by the Apostle Paul of a victorious Christian life. The Apostle Paul paints the picture there that he's wanting the Christians that he was writing to be living in victory. We all know, if we have to be really honest with ourselves, that all of us face times of battle. All of us face times of defeat when life gets difficult, and it's even sometimes difficult to be a Christian. We all know that through our Christian lives that we sometimes battle with the demons of the past. Or sin raises its ugly head again and tries to take dominion over our lives. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul's writing about. He's writing about a new lifestyle in Jesus Christ. And the question I've got to ask you this morning, do we honestly, as believers in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, believe that we are meant to live a life still of sin and defeat? Or is there a different default for us now that we are Christians? A.W. Tozer put it this way, and I quote, "The devil's business is to keep the Christian spirit imprisoned. But when the devil starts tampering with you, dare to resist him. I stand for believing in God and defying the devil." I like that. "I stand for believing in God and defying the devil. And our God loves that kind of courage among his people. It is time for you to dare to rise and in sweet faith in the risen Christ declare, I will not take this any longer." So every time the devil comes up and tries to attack you, every time the sin of the past or the sin of the present tries to entangle you, we have resurrection power in us. This is the good news. The same Spirit which raised Christ from the dead lives in us. Isn't that amazing? That's scriptural. That's a Bible verse. Think of the power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead. That same very power lives in us. Could I submit to you this morning as God's people? We, therefore, once we come to Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we live by a new default. I wonder what operating system you have running on your computer or tablet or phone. Anybody care to tell me what you have? So, you don't know? It just works. It just goes. Anybody remember the days of DOS? Disk operating system. Oh, I never forget when I finally went over from DOS to Windows shortly after my 21st birthday. It was like a whole new world opened up. And then when I finally went from Windows and my brother, who's 9 years younger than me, gave me my first MacBook. Wow. A whole new world. And folks, not to belittle anything this morning, we call to live a life that was different to the previous management. We call to live a life in Christ through the power of the resurrection, which is different to the old default, the old operating system. It's a life marked with victory. Will we go through hard times as Christians? On Friday morning we established, yes. Will we suffer? Will we be misjudged? Will we suffer innocently? Will others falsely accuse us? Yes. But through it all, thanks be to God, we can still be victorious in Him. Folks, the cross, the resurrection, these are powerful events which should make a marked difference in our lives. The way we live, the way we think, the way we act, what motivates us. The truth is now in us. And we have unity with Christ. Interestingly, Christ will never Christ will never substitute unity for truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through Him. We can't be unified with God unless we've entered the truth. We can't be unified as believers unless we're living according to the truth. There's no unity without truth. No unity with God without truth. No unity with each other without truth. And we find the truth in the Word. We find the truth in the resurrection. And the resurrection is a powerful proof that Jesus is alive. In fact, Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 5:17, said this, "And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." The only excuse we have for continuing to live in sin is if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. Then it's all futile. Then we can sin. The resurrection speaks power in our lives. It talks about the pages of history in the Bible becoming alive in our lives. And this is where we find ourselves this morning, folks. We are standing on the threshold of victory. You know, they often say, it takes a lot for people sometimes to cross the threshold of a church door. In marriage, we know it's quite common practice for, you know, on the honeymoon night, for the groom to pick his bride up and whisk her off into the bridal suite across the threshold. And there's a threshold we need to cross. And it's a threshold of victory. And again, Romans 8:11, "But if the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Why then is it that Christians live below their privileges? Why is it that we don't seem to live in this resurrection power that's available to us? Why is it that we seem to live a default which the Lord hasn't called us to live? Could it be that we sometimes into what I would term behavior modification? I think if we're really honest with ourselves and we go to church over the years, we'd have heard a lot about behavior. But let's say I was driving an old beat-up car and its engine wasn't very good, and I decided to take the car into the body workshop for a car, and they kind of straightened it out a little bit and gave it a respray. I would be fooling myself in thinking that that car was new. It's still the same underneath the old spray coat of paint. Jesus hasn't come to give us a new spray coat of paint. He hasn't come to give us a quick Christian makeover. We live in a world full of makeovers. Just walk down Queen's Road. Curlers galore on a Friday afternoon. I'm not talking about myself now. It's not just about a makeover. It's about a change of DNA. It's about having the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwelling in us. Which brings me to my first point. We have a new identity in Christ. We have a new identity in Christ. The theme of the book of Romans centers on the gospel. Paul is deeply concerned that his readers understand how a sinner may be received as righteous by a righteous God and how a justified sinner should live daily in the glory of God. So this is what happens. At the cross, which we thought about on Friday, we lay our lives down at the foot of the cross. We give our lives to Jesus. And we exchange our old sinful lifestyle for a new righteousness in Christ. The theological term is imputed. Jesus imputes righteousness to us. But then he also justifies us. Isn't that amazing? We all know what justification means, just in case you've had a momentarily memory lapse on that word. Justification means just as if I never sinned. That's probably the simplest definition to give you off the cuff here this morning. Something happens. There's a divine exchange. He takes our sinfulness and he gives us a new life. The book of Romans is one of the most profound books in existence. It is certainly one of the most valued parts of the Holy Scriptures, and it has been termed the cathedral of the Christian faith. Could it be then that realizing this, looking at those words, we were buried, we were raised, we united, we were crucified. If I were to ask you, how many people died on Good Friday? What would you answer me? Technically three. But look at verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him. We know that he took our place. But when we receive him, our old self was crucified with him. And it doesn't end there. There's life now beyond the cross. So that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Friends, this is awesome news. We can have a new identity in Jesus. Our old self, all our hang-ups, all the things we can't stand about ourselves, they've been crucified with him. They've been buried. But we have been raised. Not into that old life again. But we have been raised into a new life. And then, not only raised, but united. Look at that. United with him in death. And we certainly will also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Maybe this is a wild concept for us. But could Paul be saying that sin is supposed to be dead in our lives? You know, the various meetings for people we meet who are overcoming various addictions, one would go to one of their meetings and you would say something like, hello, my name is, pick a name, and I am a, pick a problem. So when we meet together as Christians on a Sunday, are we the gathering of the sinners or are we the gathering of the saints? We are no longer defined by our past. We are defined by the death and resurrection, our identity in Christ. And if you had to be really real with ourselves, I suppose most of us have some kind of self-esteem issue, which says, that's too good for me. I'm just a sinner. We sinners saved by grace. We saved. And sometimes when we look at our own lives, we don't see all the good that God has put there. We still trip ourselves up over things that Jesus has long ago forgiven. You know, I once heard a preacher say, what you focus on, you'll become. And I suppose if we focus on sin, we'll become that. If we focus on Jesus, we'll become more like Him. Friends, I want to encourage you this morning. The resurrection speaks of an empty tomb. The resurrection speaks of a new identity born in us by Christ. And I thought of what other way could I bring an illustration across to you this morning that helps us understand now the way God sees you. And I found a video clip, which you're going to get to next. It's a forensic artist who paints people, and he paints, does a portrait of people based on what they say about themselves. He's never seen them before, never met them. But there's a twist in the story. You'll have to listen and watch. I'm going to play it. While it's playing, my heart's prayer for all of us here this morning is this. Let's see ourselves the way Jesus sees us. We have a new identity in Him. We are loved. We are called. The best is yet to come. Let's roll that video clip, please.
I'm a forensic artist. Worked for the San Jose Police Department from 1995 to 2011.
I showed up to a place I'd never been, and there was a guy with a drafting board.
We couldn't see them. They couldn't see us.
Tell me about your hair.
I didn't know what he was doing, but then I could tell after several questions that he was drawing me.
Tell me about your chin.
It kind of protrudes a little bit, especially when I smile.
Your jaw?
My mom told me I had a big jaw.
What would be your most prominent feature?
I kind of have a fat, rounder face.
The older I've gotten, the more freckles I've gotten.
I would say I have a pretty big forehead.
Once I get a sketch, I say thank you very much, and then they leave. I don't see them.
All I had been told before the sketch was to get friendly with this other woman, Chloe.
Today I'm going to ask you some questions about a person you met earlier, and I'm going to ask you some general questions about their face.
She was thin, so you could see her cheekbones. And her chin, it was a nice, thin chin.
She had nice eyes. They lit up when she spoke.
Cute nose.
She had blue eyes, very nice blue eyes.
So here we are. This is a sketch that you helped me create, and that's a sketch that somebody described of you.
So yeah, let's...
She looks closed off and fatter. Sadder, too. Mm-hmm. The second one looks more open, friendly, and happy.
Mm-hmm. I should be more grateful of my natural beauty. It impacts the choices in the friends that we make, the jobs we apply for, how we treat our children. It impacts everything. I couldn't be more critical to your happiness.
Do you think you're more beautiful than you say?
Yeah.
We spend a lot of time as women analyzing and trying to fix the things that aren't quite right. And we should spend more time appreciating the things that we do like.
And I want to say to you this morning, you've probably got a whole lot more of Jesus in you than you think. It's the life He died to give you. To love you. To restore you. To help you have victory. To help you through those real tough times. I'm going to come into a conclusion. If you could just go to the next slide. So that's identity, the next one. I was going to say that we are included. I was going to talk to you a little bit about baptism. I'll do that another time. And if you could go to the last slide, which is my conclusion, indulge. I'm going to conclude with this concept. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Isn't that precious? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desire. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Can you see our clear theme and message this morning? And offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. This is amazing grace. When Jesus is in our lives, sin is no longer our master. We have a new master. His name is Jesus. And I'm looking at the time. I'm going to need to conclude right now. But I just want to say this in conclusion. It says, do not offer the part of your body as instruments of wickedness. That word instruments in the Greek there can be translated weapons. Sometimes our own body, when it's used for sin, can be a weapon. But when used for God, it's a weapon for truth. And what are the parts of our body? Sometimes we need to be reminded of these things. Your hands, your fingers, your eyes, your ears, your lips, your legs, your feet, your toes, and all the rest. So, in conclusion, maybe some of us this morning, on a positive note, need to write a letter of resignation. Write a letter of resignation and put it on sin's desk and walk away from it. Come off the payroll of sin for good. Then when sin tries phoning you up again and tempts you for sin to become your boss again, you can say, I'm sorry, I'm actually not sorry, but I don't work for you any longer. Friends, it's time to start enjoying our relationship with Jesus. It's time to start enjoying our salvation. It's time to start enjoying the victory that God has for us. Spiritual victory will never be a real part of our lives until we make a particular and definite issue regarding the parts of our body. That's why my last point is indulge. Let's indulge in Christ. So what would come off our lips if our lips were indulged in Christ? What would we look at if our eyes, and what would we see if our eyes were indulged in Christ? What would we be hearing if our ears were indulged in Christ? What would we be thinking if our minds were indulged in Christ? Our hands, our feet, our heart, and even our intimate parts. If we want victory, we can have it. Jesus has made it possible. Go ahead this Easter Sunday. Realize your identity in Christ. Realize that He's included you in this. He wants you in this. And that He has victory for you. And a life in Him that is so awesome. So amazing. I've never met a Christian who has said, I am truly sorry I gave my life to Jesus. I've never heard a Christian say that. May I encourage you, step off the threshold and enter into victory. Go from defeat to victory. Move from guilt to freedom. From fear to faith. From doubt to trust, from darkness to light, and from death to life. Let us pray together, and at the same time, I invite the worship team forward, please. I hope this morning has been helpful to you. And while our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, I just would like to encourage you to think about this morning what the resurrection means for you. What does your identity in Christ now look like? He's created you to live in a wonderful relationship with Him. You're included. Every human being on the planet, Jesus once included in this. He died for you. He rose again from the dead for you. It's not about religion. It's about life. Friendship with Jesus. And then we indulge no longer in the sinful nature, but in the goodness and the mercy and the good plans and the awesome life that God has for us. Based on truth and faith in Him, who loves you so much that He's inscribed your name on the palm of His hands. He loves you. He loves you. And all He's doing this morning is asking for that love back. We're going to sing a great song right now. We've sang some great songs this morning. Great to sing a hymn. I love hymns. They contain so much truth. But have you noticed how much truth the new songs are containing? We've been singing scripture all morning. Are we going to sing a newish song now written in 2015? Are we also going to be singing scripture? And maybe you could sing this as a prayer. And just give everything over to the Lord this morning. If any part of the service has affected you and you feel you'd like additional prayer, we have a prayer team available after the service. Kindly just make your way to the pew in the front here and we'll pray with you. And please do join us for refreshments in the Care Center. But here's a great song, a great declaration of our faith to end our Easter Sunday service this morning. And once again, a very happy Easter to you. I pray not only that you have a blessed day further, but that your life will be blessed in every way, in Jesus' name.